Morning. Today's scripture will be coming from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 22. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 22. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. This morning, I want us, just for a few minutes, to talk about the faith of the patriarchs. We're going to be looking at this for a few weeks. And the reason why is because I know for a fact that all of us can work on our faith, our trust. We know for a fact that the Bible teaches us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. We cannot trust God unless we go to his word in order to obtain that trust. As we look at the patriarchs, I want us to just read some things, because we're going to be doing a lot of reading on this morning. I believe that we need to get back holistically as the Lord's church, back to reading the Bible from the pulpit. We have too many stories being told. We have too many illustrations being given. We need to get back to what thus saith the Lord. And friends, when we consider the faith of the patriarchs, there are three different dispensations, three ages, three time frames that the Bible speaks of. The first one is found from Genesis chapter 1 to Exodus chapter 24 and verse 8. Just mark these down. That's called the patriarchal system. That's the system in which God spoke to the fathers and the fathers spoke to the families. We understand that God gave a oral law. That was the patriarchal system. But then he gave a written law. We find that in Exodus chapter 20. But we see, according to Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 8, that particular law, the Mosaic law, did not go into fruition until it was sealed by blood. We know for a fact that when Moses read the law, that blood was sprinkled upon the books and upon the people. Friends, when we consider that, and we consider Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 and verse 17, we know that blood had to be sealed, or seals a covenant. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29, remember, as he is instituting the Lord's Supper at the Passover, and he said, "This is the New Testament in my blood, shed for many for the remission of sins." Friends, it is very important for us to understand that a covenant cannot be a covenant unless it was sealed by blood. Jesus, when we think of the covenant of Christ, from Exodus chapter 20 to John chapter 19 and verse 30, that's when Jesus died on the cross. However, remember in verse number 34 of John 19, here we find that soldier piercing Jesus in the side, and forthwith came blood and water. That same blood purchased the church, Acts 20 and verse 28. It's that same blood that sealed the covenant. That's when we consider the law of Moses being nailed to the cross, according to Colossians 2, verse 14. So when we consider John 19, verse number 34 through the end of time, friends, we are now under the law to Christ. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. Friends, we are now under the law to Christ. But Brother Bonner, why did you bring that up? I brought that up because now as we are looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 22, and I know for a fact that we're only going to be looking at a couple of these verses, because we're going to be looking at the patriarchs and their faith, their trust. And friends, as we were looking at on last week, what does faith mean? What does faith look like? Well, on last week, as we was looking at the first 12 verses, of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we saw what faith looked like. A recount. Look at verse number 4 of Hebrews 11, and then we'll hurriedly go into verse number 17. I promise to have you out by 1 o'clock. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4, faith offers. In verse number 5, faith pleases. But pleases who? Pleases God. We even saw that with Jesus Christ in John 8, verse 29. In verse number 7, we see that faith moves with godly fear. We looked at that word very closely on last week, the word move. Literally, here we see Noah as he is building the ark, and he builds it with precision. Bible teaches us in Ephesians 5, verses 11 through verse 17, that we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, which teaches us that faith requires us to look at our lives diligently and then walk very carefully. But then we see also in verse number 8 that faith requires obedience. We see that in Abraham or Abraham. But then Sarah, we see in verse number 11 that faith requires us to judge God faithfully. Now, I said all of that to say this. I want us to key in on Abraham. Because when we key in on Abraham in verses 17 and verse number 18, friends, we'll find something very interesting. As a matter of fact, the more that I was studying this, my mind was being blown as if, Brother Raphael, I have just studied this for the very first time. And friends, there is something about the living Word of God that we can learn from it, and it can develop our faith even more so. It doesn't matter if we've been in the faith for 2 months or 50 years. Why? Because God's Word is a living book. Notice, in verse 17, by faith, notice what faith looks like. Abraham, when he was tested. Friends, according to James chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, when God tests individuals, he never tests them with sin. Why? Because that would go against his very character. In 1 John 1 and verse number 5, the Bible teaches us that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. So the very fact that God was testing Abraham, and we're going to see here in a few minutes as we go back to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, we're going to go back and we're going to see how did God test him and what does that mean for us? How does that develop our faith? How does that help me to be a better Christian, a better husband, a better wife, a better child, a better son, a better daughter, a better member of the Lord's church? Friends, this is such a powerful text that as I was delving into it, I told myself, there's no way you're going to try to get through all of those verses. Notice, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises, what promises? We'll talk about that. Offered up his only begotten son, sounds like Jesus, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Now that's a powerful point right there that we're going to look at later on, friends, concerning even our own personal faith. And friends, we're going to look at Isaac as being Abraham's son, but the emphasis is really not on Isaac. The emphasis is on Abraham. But then notice the logical conclusion that Abraham came up to, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Let's turn our Bibles and let's go back to the book of beginnings. And we're going to make some comments and we're going to do some studying. And I want you, as we're studying this, to look at your own personal life. Not your wife, not your husband, not your children, not your mother, your father, not any other member of the Lord's church. Look at your life and watch the application take place without me even giving no application whatsoever. Wow. God's word is so powerful that when we read it, it automatically gives us application. In Genesis chapter 12, we come across Abram. We see three things concerning promises that God gave to Abram. In verse number 1, we see of chapter 12 that God gave him a land promise. He says to a land, I'm going to take you to a land that I will show you. The second promise that he gives him is a great nation and a great name promise. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. Now, if anyone is going to make anybody great, it has to be God. You remember going back to Genesis chapter 11, not going to spend too much time there. The first 5 or 6 verses there, you'll find the Tower of Babel. And in that particular situation, you see that they desired to make their name great. God came down and confounded the languages. Why? Because anytime a man begins to try to make himself great, God has to say, no, I am the only one that can make one great. So here, he calls Abraham to attention. He says, I'm going to make your name great. Now, in verse number 3, notice what he says at the latter part of that verse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's the seed promise. Now, put this in your notes if you're taking notes. When we consider the land promise, God did fulfill that promise in Joshua chapter 21, verses 43 through 45. He gave them the land of Canaan. When we consider the great nation and the great name promise, that's still being fulfilled now because people are being baptized into Christ even to this day, Galatians chapter 3, 24 through 26. Isn't it amazing when you drop down to verse number 29 of Galatians chapter 3 that when we're baptized into Christ, Brother Dennis, we then become Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God is still making his nation great. God is still making Abraham's name great. And he's doing it through Jesus Christ. But then we see the seed promise. This is seen in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 14. And it was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, verses 21 and following, that Jesus Christ was going to be coming from the seed of David. David came from the seed of Abraham, Abraham. We see that also. You know what that teaches us already? We haven't even gotten to the lesson. That God is a God that keeps his promise. Amen. Now, if God is a God that keeps his promise, that means that if God says that we're going to have eternal life, that we're going to live with him throughout eternity, friends, we can put that in the bank. That check is going to cash. That check will cash. We can believe God. Number 2. In chapter 15, God is a God of covenant. Now, everything that we're talking about, just looking at Hebrews 11, verses 17 through verse number 19, God is leading up to something. But what is he leading up to? God is leading up to this very thing. Let's notice, we have a lot of reading to do, friends. Notice verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid. Abram, I am your shield. Your exceeding great reward. Underline that, friends, because God is our shield still. And God is our great reward still. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir. Now notice what God said. He said, the one that you're speaking of, Abram, that's not the one that's going to be the one that I'm talking about. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And here is the key verse of the text, Brother Raphael. And Abram believed God. Question. Do we believe God? It's a powerful question. Does God have to continue to say things in his word for us to believe him? Or are we those who doubt God, doubt his word? Abram, the Bible teaches us in verse number 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he, that's God, accounted it to him for righteousness. Now, friends, I want us to go to chapter 16. Because God is going to be doing some more things, but just like man, just like us, friends, God is trying to get us to the promised land. That's where he is. That's glory. But the only way that he can do that, we have to be conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ, Romans 8, verse 28 and 29. Now, I say that to say this. Every now and then, friends, we find ourselves stepping off the beaten path. Every now and then, because we become impatient, we began doing things our own way. This is what we see in chapter 16. You know what this also teaches us? This teaches us that even though that Abram had great faith in Jehovah, that his faith wasn't where it needed to be at this particular time, getting him to where God wanted him to be. So what did him and Sarai come up with? Well, why don't you take my handmaiden and go in unto her? Perhaps this is the way that God is going to bring in the heir. But hold on. That's not what God told Abram. Abram said, God told him that it was going to come through your seed and Sarah was going to be the one that was going to be having this child, not Hagar. Every now and then, this happens to us. Every now and then in this life, we take matters into our own hands. And then, just like everything else, God had to come to the rescue of Abram and Sarah because they had messed things up. And God had to come to the rescue of Hagar and Ishmael. And remember, after the birth of Isaac, we find that they are put out, Hagar and Ishmael. And here come God to the rescue. I'll take care of you. Wow. Go to chapter 17. Because they have this child. But in chapter 17, we see that if we're going to be what God wants us to be, if we're going to have that genuine, strong, stabilized faith, it's going to require chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be what, friends? What does your Bible say? Blameless. You know, the same thing is required even today. There's not a sinful man that can utter a prayer to God and God will hear it. Mark this in your Bible, 1 Peter 3, verse 12. I know we hear false doctrine around us and maybe even some in the Lord's church believe that they can live any type of way and they can come before God. No, the only way you can do that, you have to be blameless. And here, these are God's stipulations for Abram to come before him. But then drop down to verse number 15. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her. And she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face. Friends, look at this. Look at the reverence of Abraham. Friends, I believe that we need to fall on our spiritual faces before God. Does it mean that I get on my knees? No, but when I come before God, I come with humility. That He is superior, that He is the one that's in control and I'm inferior. That I am the clay and He's the potter. And notice what He says. And laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 99 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Here it is again. Abraham, weak in faith. Here it is again. We find Abraham not knowing exactly what God desired out of him, but he should have. There was a lapse of judgment going on somewhere. And notice God had to correct that. And notice what He says in verse number 19. Then God said, no. Wow. God says, I know you're coming up with this plan again. You and Sarai came up with this plan to have Ishmael. That wasn't my plan. That was yours. And there we find Abraham and he said, well, it has to be through Ishmael. No. I said it was going to be you and Sarah. And notice, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. God, what are you trying to do? Where are you trying to take Abraham? Same thing with us. God is trying to take us somewhere. But just like Abraham, and he's the father of the faithful, he's a righteous man, which tells us that even though we can be righteous and that we are righteous, we can make decisions and think things that are not in line with God at times. Notice, go to chapter 18, verses 10 through verse 12. Here we find the son of promise. Keep in mind, friends, that Sarah is 99 years old. Here, a year later, the son of promise is going to come, which makes her roughly about 100 years old. Keep that in mind. And he said, verse number 10, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. Behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in years, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Meaning that here we're going to have a child. Am I going to have the pleasure of having a child? And notice what he goes on to say in verse 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Here it is. And friends, we need to ask ourselves this question today. Is anything too hard for God? Sometimes we believe that. I do. Sometimes my faith is not where it needs to be. But then you got to put your spiritual pants on and realize that what God's word says is true and you can believe Him. Amen. We can believe God. If God says it in His word, you can believe it. It's going to come true. It's going to come to fruition. Go to chapter 20. Verses 1 through 3. Abraham, still spending time with God. Here we see roughly about 25 years. He called Abraham when he was about 75 years old, and now Abraham is 100 years old. And we see here that over 25 years, and God is still working with Abraham. In Exodus chapter 20, we see that God is really working with Abraham for the ultimate test. Starting at verse number 1, friends, think about this. And think about your own personal life. And think about how great God can be in your life and in the life, here it is, of Knife and Main, if we had the faith that God desired for us to have, if we developed the faith that God desired for us to have, that we can move mountains all because of the faith we have in Jesus Christ. Notice the first three verses. And Abraham journeyed from there to the Negev Valley. Your version may say the south. And dwelt between Kadesh and Shur. Stayed in Gerar. Now, Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Uh-oh, we got a problem. But God came to Abimelech in a dream. Here, let me go ahead and break this down. Here, we find that Abraham and Sarah come up with this great plan again. You know, we know that God is going to bring the promise through us. But if we go through this particular land, the king there is going to kill me and he's going to take you because you're a beautiful woman. Again, losing faith. Don't have that belief. And sometimes when the opposition comes our way, what we do is we concoct plans in our mind and we begin to deviate from the plan that God has given us. Here we find that Abraham comes up with this plan. I guess in his mind it was a great plan, but it wasn't a great plan because this particular plan, Brother Dennis, put not only his life on the line, not only Sarah's life on the line, but it also put King Abimelech and his people lives on the line. God told him, if you touch that woman, I will kill you. That's what God said. Now, why did God say that? Because Sarah was part of God's plan. Friends, do not make no mistake about this. This was a regular practice that if a man and a woman came into town and she was beautiful and fair, and if he wanted her, he would have him killed and take her to be his wife. That was a regular practice. But why did God stop this? God stopped this because Sarah was part of God's plan. Make no mistake about it, that this situation probably went on even after this case. That this being God's plan, Sarah being part of God's plan, God was not going to allow this situation to hinder his son coming through this lineage of Abraham, chapter 21. Notice, look at verse number 5. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. You know how old Sarah was? How old? Anybody have an idea? Any brother? How old? How old was Sarah? Who? How old was Sarah? 90? She's 90 years old. Now that's important. The reason why I asked that question is important, friends. You know why it's important, Brother Dennis? This is so important. This is a powerful point right here. Because we're going to see not only the faith of Abraham, but we're going to see the faith of Isaac. Oh, friends, notice chapter 22. In chapter 22, we don't have time to look at all of this. But notice this, friends. Wow. You want to be a good example as a father? Allow God to be your father. You want to be a good example as a mother? Allow God to be your father. If you want your children to have any type of chance on living with God later on throughout eternity, allow God to be your father. Here it is. Now it came to pass after those things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, and he said, here am I. First thing that we have to do is listen to God. Number two, then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And notice the obedience of Abraham. He rose up early in the morning, saddled the donkey, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, the wood for the burnt offering, and he went there. You go back and you read that. Now friends, if we're going to be a faithful congregation, if we're going to be a congregation that other people want to come and listen to the word of God and then go out and be a changed people, a developed people, a spiritual people, then we got to do what Abraham did. We have to listen to what the word of God says and we got to put it into practice. Notice verse 6. So Abraham took the word the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. The two of them went together, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and he said, "My father." Abraham said, "Here I am, son." Now, one thing I love about Abraham, I was talking to little Mike about this the other day. Abraham was such a godly man that not only did he listen to his father, God, but he even listened to his son, Isaac. Now, friends, it takes a lot of humility to not only to listen to God, but to also listen to your children. That requires a lot of humility. Notice, he says, "Here I am, son." Notice what he goes on to say. He said, "Look, the fire in the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Notice the faith of Abraham. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God told him. Abraham is still listening to God. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. He bound Isaac and his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham," here it is. "Here I am." He's still listening. God's man has to listen. God's men must learn how to listen. God's people must always listen. And he says, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Go to chapter 23. This is why I had to ask, how old Sarah? This is immediately, friends. From what I've gathered, and I've pondered this, and I've looked at it, and I've delved into this, and I believe that I'm pretty accurate with this. Immediately after they come down, they see the men that they came with, and here they're going down, and the next thing you know, the next episode that happens in their life, Brother Randy, is Sarah dies. You know how old she was? What does your Bible say? She was what? 127. You know how old Isaac was when he listened to his father and he allowed his father to put him on the altar to slay him? He had to be at least 35, 36 years old. Oh, friends, that humbled me. You know what that says about Isaac? That he was just as humble as his dad. You know what that says about Isaac? That he was a man that listened to his father because his father listened to God. You know what that teaches us? That it doesn't matter how old we get, that we are to listen to authority, and the authority is God. Amen. You know the problem we have today? We have the problem today that we think people, that God is not the one we ought to listen to. But Abraham listened to God, and he taught his son, "Listen to me because I'm listening to God." And here a 35, 36-year-old man, he listens to his father because his father is listening to God. I have so much respect for Isaac now, I don't know what to do. No wonder God knew, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. Because of Genesis 18:19, God knew, Brother and Sister Evelyn, that he was going to command his house. He knew that. And he knew that Isaac was going to listen to him. He knew that. Friends, by faith, go back to Hebrews 11. Because what was God doing for here from age 75 to this particular time in his life? Almost 40 years it took God to get Abraham where he needed to be in order to do what he needed to do. What's your point, Brother Bonner, with Hebrews 11 and verse number 17? Church, we need to not only be patient with ourselves, be patient with God, but shouldn't we be patient with one another? And you know what we all struggle with? Being patient with God, patient with ourselves, and patient with one another. That's what he's teaching us. God is saying, and I can prove it with the Bible. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, God is not slack concerning his promise as men count slackness, but as what? Long suffering. God waited on Abraham. Why? Because he knew for a fact that Abraham was going to do exactly what he wanted him to do, but it was going to take him time to get over some of the unbelief. It was going to take him time to formulate some of those thoughts in his mind to conclude that God had the power to raise him up. Why? Because God told him that in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham had to conclude that if I slay my son, that God had to raise him up because this is the only heir. And that means that if he's the only heir, that means that he's going to live again. No wonder Jesus Christ, God had to lay him on an altar. He laid him on that cross. And what did God do, Brother Raphael? God raised him up. Why? So we all can live. And Isaac had to been raised up. But here, I love God so much because of look at what he did to Abraham. He did not put Abraham through what he had to go through. Here, God had to go through the pain of his son dying on the cross, taking on the sin of the world. And he did that because he loved us. But God went all the way through with it. And he gave his son. And they beat his son to a bloody pulp. All because we can live. And friends, if you want the next generation to live at 9th and Main, we need to do some sacrificing. We need to do our part. We have to stay with the book. We have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We have to teach our children. We have to pray. And I'm not talking about these little prayers that we do sometimes, but I'm talking about getting down on our knees and asking God to forgive us for the wrong that we do. I challenge you. I challenge all of us. You go and you read of all the prayers in the Old Testament. And there are some of the most heartfelt and deep and emotional prayers you'll ever read in your life. You're talking about people because of their faith in God, that they pour out their hearts to God and they recognize that you're holy and you're just and you're good and I'm nothing. I'm sinful at times. And Father, I'm just thankful that you love me enough to give your son for me by faith. Abraham offered his son. And God says, if you're willing to do this, I know it's because you reverence me. Friends, you make application in your life. How much are you sacrificing that the next generation can rise up and bless God? Let's have a word of prayer. Great God and Father, you're so good to us. Too good to us. And as Brother Raphael said in class this morning, it's not because we deserve it. It's because you love us so much. Help us to realize that we have to have that faith, not only of Abraham, but also of Isaac. Help us to realize that we can do nothing without you. And when our thoughts go awry, when we think things we know we shouldn't be thinking, say things we know we shouldn't be saying, doing things we know we should not be doing, that we humbly come before you asking for forgiveness, confessing our fault, walking blameless before you. Father, that would be enough if you just forgive us. Help us to get back on that right track, on the goal. And that's to be conformed to the image of your Son, that we may live in that promised land. Father, be with the elders here, the members. Help us to always realize that you have a goal in our lives, and that we should not allow anything and anyone to get us off of it. Forgive us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's the word of God that teaches us that one must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That he must be willing to repent. Paul said in Acts 17, verse number 30, that we need to repent of sins. We need to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus talked about confession, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. We need to be baptized into water to have our sins washed away. And then that's where we come in contact with the blood of Christ. That's where our conscience is cleansed from dead works to serve the living God. And this is where we come in contact with God, that way we may be heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise that God made to Abraham, that in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Friends, you are a blessed one if you're in Christ. This is why, if you're a child of God and you haven't been living faithful, you come forward and you let us pray for you and you repent of sins. Why? Because we shouldn't want anything or anyone to get us out of the way with God, but to keep us in the way with God. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.